every area of life. If anything will work in your life, you must be disciplined about it. Another word that you would like to become in union with as we prepare for the new year is the word consistency. Is the word what? These two words, if you are going to excel at anything you do in life, you must be disciplined at it. And you must be consistent about it. And mind you, discipline applies to yourself, while consistency applies to what you do. But discipline must first come before you can be consistent. So every area of life that you want to experience, you see, our lives, the things that affect us, is like a chain, it's like a web. Everything is connected. Your finance is connected to your health. Your health is connected to your spiritual life. Is connected to your emotional well-being. So our life is like a web, such that if one part of it is affected, it will naturally affect the other parts. So when we talk about discipline, it must be a rule that we bind ourselves by. Prophecies will come into your life. As a matter of fact, prophecies have come. It doesn't take the place of prophecy. But without discipline, your life will look like someone who has no word over their lives. And I'll outline different areas of our lives where we need to apply discipline. I was talking about releasing your faith for finance, and why that God wants you to prosper before the break. But before I continue with that, let me just highlight this. You must discipline yourself with what goes into your mouth. Amen. Amen. Why? What goes into your mouth determines what your body will constitute. Your physical well-being will, to a large extent, be determined by what goes into your mouth. I'll be comparing the natural and the physical. So, in the same vein, your spiritual life will also be determined by what you feed on spiritually. So you must apply discipline in what goes into your mouth, either by way of food or by way of spiritual food. One major sign of a baby, of babyhood, is the willingness to want to eat everything and put in the mouth. True of us. It's a sign that it's a baby. Why? His senses are not exercised to know the difference between what is good and what is bad. A baby naturally responds to the impulse of wanting to eat without thinking of the evil or harm it may cause to his body. As a matter of fact, when the evil happens, you are the one that will worry. All he or she knows to do is to put stuff in the mouth. It's a major sign of babyhood, of immaturity, and of lack of discipline. So as a person, you must discipline yourself with what goes into your mouth. By the grace of God, next day we're going to bring Doki, amen, to the pulpit. He will preach a medicine to us. Amen. I'm serious. We need to understand these things. Sickness is not only cost. Don't worry, it'll be a session. We'll just interact. Doki can talk. Don't forget that he's quiet. When he starts now, you beg him to stop. He's loaded. You will come and teach us on medicine and health. See, God is not averse to medicine. He gave that wisdom to help you in your health. There are many things we take for granted with our health that we start praying about when we should have taken caution. Mind what goes into your mouth. In terms of food, the things you drink, and drugs. Some of us are doctors that didn't go to school. Headache. This must be malaria. Bam, you are going to go and buy anti-malaria. Did you test yourselves? You know, no, sir. I know I used to do me. You don't have this thing. What you are putting in your mouth. As a matter of fact, the only thing you should not be disciplined about doing is taking communion. That one, take it anytime. When it comes to food, discipline. Coke in the morning, this one in the afternoon, sweet biscuits. Your mouth just must just move. God did not ordain your mouth for eating. He ordained your mouth for taking authority. Priority. If you make your mouth priority only to eat first, you will have no time to speak over your life. Man shall not live by what? Alone. But by what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Be disciplined about what goes into your mouth. Eat right. Eating food and eating right are two different things. Learn to eat right. Don't eat indomie and beans. That's not eating right. Amen, brothers. Indomie and bread. Put indomie inside bread. You say, oh boy, this is life. It's not life, it's death. Avoid carcinogenous foods. Everything you eat is like can. Baked beans, tomato, everything. Don't can your life. If you have to do that, get some veggies along. What am I saying? Eat right. You will discover that if you eat rice, you won't need to eat very much. That idea that when they give you rice, the bowl must be, the rice must be like a mountain. Delete it. It's a problem. It's a poverty symptom. Because it makes you feel like you are in charge. You see men go to party. Men. People that say they have money. They'll be angry over rice. Say, how can you give me kind of food? Am I begging for food? Eat it and go, brother. It's not your house. And if you're a Yoruba man that lives in the West, he will buy. Lucky, sorry. That's why I put live in the West. he will buy rice. 100 naira. Me, 500. You say, every man, come on, skin. That has nothing. Come on, Jebu. Tell you, towel. And what they call towel. And what they call roundabout. Say, I'm chopping the life of my head. Discipline with food. Don't eat your destiny away. You are not working to eat. Bible says, let he that stole steal no more. Instead, let him work with his hands that which is good, that he may have to give. Not that he may have to eat. So if all you are working, you say, I beg, person no go work, make you no enjoy in life. You just declare a salary, you divide the two. You know, I've seen people in this town, civil servants of this town, indigents. On salary day, go and check the bookers. Bookers are filled. Because salary day is there. Finally. You will see a man that has family. 15 children at home. You will sit down with the booker. Madam, Bane Sokora. You will see, you will put a gushi. They don't know how to call it. They will load. One day, during fasting, I saw one. I didn't even know that they were fasting. I forgot him. Get carry handkerchief and was cleaning his mouth, inside his mouth, vigorously. I
said, is it part of their?
I said, hey, ask me, I go ask me. But he quickly dodged. No, he cleaned his mouth, clean inside his mouth, not outside though. But they won't smell a goosey soup. You see, men who are insipid, marry at home, they can beat their wife because food is not ready. It's gluttony. Let me tell you, when you are not disciplined with food, it is the start of discipline. Whatever makes you insipid with food, it will affect every other area of your life. Mark my word. Be disciplined with what goes into your mouth. Eat right. Don't have to eat plenty. Let not your eba be a mountain before you are happy. AKA Shebaleshe. Obeyami your waist. That means nothing can waste around you. If it's there, we must just stop it. You mustn't just eat everything because it is there. Think of other people in your life. Think of giving. When food in your house is excess, it's a sign that you need to give. We don't always have to buy a bag of rice in my house. But when we buy it, my rice body will be itching for who to give it to. The bag of rice, let's give this person now. She'll be itching to give it out. That's the way you think of your life. Not everything you own, you consume on yourself. You say, I'm a hustler. I hustle my money. I eat my money. I don't give it. See, let me tell you, the day you will fall, there will be nobody. Because you have eaten alone. Discipline your mouth. In the same way, discipline your spiritual diet. What do you feed on? Your first priority is the Bible. Nobody can confuse a man who studies his Bible. Nobody can extort a man who knows the word of God. Pastors nowadays, all they do is to extort people. You are ignorant. Stop complaining. If you are ignorant as a believer, you will be exploited. Mark my word. You can't deceive a Christian who knows his Bible. The ones who are easily deceived are the ones who are ignorant of the word of God. Feed on the word of God. Feed on God's word. He said, give me understanding that I may live. That understanding derived from God's word will elongate your life. It will elongate your life when you know the word of God. Those that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. What do they know about their God? What he has said. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. This book of the law, Joshua 1 verse 8, shall not depart from out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. He said, then shalt thou make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits down with discomfort. He said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Psalm 1. In the law does he meditate day and night. Discipline and consistency. Day and night there represents discipline and consistency. You must have a disciplined routine for Bible study in your life. Not because you want to come and preach to anybody. It is for your own life. Come on now. Stop playing games. I cannot impart discipline to you. Hello? Come on. It's not impartable. What I'm telling you is not what they say, lay hands on me. It does not come by laying on of hands. It comes with a decision. discipline yourself by what comes into your mouth. Say that we not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. If we are tossed to and fro, it means we lack discipline on what we feed on. Feed on God's word diligently. Consistently means every day you should have a time where you are studying. At that time, nobody can get your attention. That is the time you have given to study God's word. It may be 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 1 hour, as much as you can, but make sure it is consistent. Don't study 2 hours today and 0 hours tomorrow. That's not consistency. How many of us will eat today? How many of you eat today? Did you eat yesterday? Why are you eating today? Eh? Because no matter how much you ate the previous day, you will still need to eat the next day. Come on, talk to me. But many of us, we treat our prayer life like, today I prayed in tongues 1 hour. Then you start saying, yes, finally I've done what Papa said. Then the next day, nothing. See, God would rather have you pray to Him 20 minutes every day consistently than pray 1 hour today and zero tomorrow. That way you can never grow. Imagine if you are cooking rice. How long does it to cook rice? Average time for rice? 15 minutes. Today we have gas. In our days of stove is 1 hour. But just imagine that you boil that rice for 3 minutes. You now drop it. You put it back again. Boil for 2 minutes and you drop it. And your target is what? 15. You drop it again. Boil for another 5 minutes. You drop it. Will the rice be done in 15 minutes now? It won't. Why? Because the heat needs to be consistently under heat, under the rice, for it to be done in that time. It's not about the heat coming to the pot. It's about the heat being consistent. Discipline is putting the heat consistently. Don't be so crazy about when someone say, I pray 7 hours. Don't kill yourself. Consistency will lead to growth, but lack of consistency will keep you stunted. When you are consistent, a time will come, 20 minutes will not be enough again. That's the power of consistency. So discipline yourself by listening to messages we teach here. I hear testimonies in church every time, and I wonder whether it is true or they're just psyching my head. The thing I like about this church is the word. My experience of what you like is that you want to go back to it. If you have ever eaten Doki's wife's fried rice, you will want to eat it again. That is what liking something. I'm not giving an example. Kafi Labi? Kafi? You ate it now. Why are you pretending? Do you understand what I'm saying? If you have ever eaten that bread they sell in equity, like equity, you will call freedom every time and say, bring that bread, bring that bread. My experience with what you like is that there's always a longing in you to have a taste again. So if you come and stand there and say the word of God is blessing you, and you don't go back to hear it, you are lying. Have a routine. This thing pastor preach. See, many of you will have less prayer points if you consistently listen to what I teach here. Me, I've stopped praying about some things hearing my own message. Or you don't know how I hear myself? I go back and hear it. I look for the one addressing me and hear it. My brother was telling me, he said, I consistently listened to your messages when I was looking for money for my project. He said, I sat down with the message. He said, now I have new ideas by listening to your messages. He's my blood brother, biological brother. He said, I've gotten wisdom on what to do by sitting down with you. And he's not lying. I hear him. 247 is playing my message. Mama's son will enter, he will play. But you, you come here. Ah, that church is blessed. They have word. Once you go to the next meeting time. Ah, Papa, get word. Then they scam me. If my voice is not sweet in your ear, to hear after service, you don't love the word I'm preaching. And that's why you have all manner of things in your head. Only you is hearing Mr. A. Only you is hearing Mr. B. Can you eat rice from rice, semo, wheat, beans, spag inside one plate together? Is that eating well? There's nothing your pastor saying that is in your head, but what other people are saying is in your head. And you want that same thing to bless you? It can't. There has to be a consistency. Because if you hear me more, I will pray for you less. If you use what I'm teaching you, you will have few prayer points. In my life, I have very few prayer points for myself. There are things I have finished praying. I'm just rejoicing, waiting for their manifestation now. You know why? Of the things I have heard. I may not look like it, but I know it is done. So I'm rejoicing. I'm not praying about it again. Give time to your pastor's messages. Don't just say you are blessed. Now we are on Facebook. How many of you deliberately go and share the live video after service? But you're on Facebook. Feed on God's word. Feed again on what you are taught. That's how to go. And it's how to grow. Your life will not change by high sounding rhema. It is simple things that change our lives. One thing you can be sure of in my life, I will always teach it simple. No complexity. The complex rhema is in me. But if I make it simple. If you are doing Bible school, we can bring all those jargons. What will jargons add to your pocket? Take faith and run your life. It's simple as that. But you want to hear one strong grammar. Say, that end in the church. As you said in home, it has gone out of the window. Because there's no discipline to practice what you have heard. When you read the Bible, be disciplined to practice scripture. And that area you must learn. Be disciplined to practice scripture. And you must accept the whole of scripture as the truth, not some part of it. There are many of us who do selective obedience. The one that suits you, you take. The one that's not okay for you, you keep it. Say me, I be Christian, but person of him match me, make a say sorry. You give it to me, I give it back to you. That is selective obedience. God supplies my needs. God, but somebody offend you, you cannot forgive. You say it's only God that can settle us. But you turn around. Oh God, I believe your word. Oh God, all my enemies die. Half of those who pray against enemies are living in bitterness and malice. Mark what I told you. That prayer comes majorly from malice. Because as they are praying against their enemy, there's somebody in their mind. Our enemy is the devil. Me, I'm not praying against anybody, but it's a lie. So the prayer is laden with bitterness. If anybody answers that prayer, it's the devil, not God. You can never, God's nature is walking in love. When you pray to kill somebody, you're not walking in love, sir. You are not in the will of God. Jesus, that they killed, those that he healed their children, he healed their cousins, they were shouting, crucify him. Yet the last thing he said, Forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Who has offended you that much? That your prayer time is devoted to killing. You cannot do selective obedience of God's word. You must accept the whole counsel of God's word to be true. If God's word is true in your finance, it must be true about your love work. You can't hate somebody. You can't. See, hate is a luxury I can't afford. Malice is a luxury I can't afford. It's too costly. It will cost me my life. It will cost me my body. I can't afford it. It doesn't matter who is selling it. I can't afford it. It is hard to make me hate you. Why? I have decided that even if I have reason to, I will not. That is obeying the whole counsel of the word of God. Discipline by listening to teachings. Listen to messages. Feed on God's word as priority. Feed on messages. Discipline yourself to learn things that will improve either your business or your career. Discipline yourself to get information that will help your business or your career. You can't be doing things the same way and expect a different result. It's a sign of insanity. For whatever it is you are doing, there's always a better way to do it. We quickly complain that something is not working because we have lost zeal, and zeal will be lost when there's no innovation. You know, one Baba, I heard the story. He used to be a Benz mechanic. Anything Benz in those days. Until one day, one of his customers brought a Benz. You know that's Benz. You know, there was this Benz then, flat boot. It's normal key. From all these C-class stands, I have this key that if you don't know Benz, you think it's not a key. You think it's the key holder. You don't know it's the key. You are holding. Baba said, I'm happy for you. Ah, Oga. Make I test him. Baba was locked in the car for 15 minutes. He could not start the Benz. He was looking for where to start the motor. This is a Benz mechanic expert. They brought Benz, he could not start it. When the thing passed him, he said, "Oh, guy, Joe, come and start this car yourself. This one don't pass the power." Why? No improvement in knowledge. Your business is not bad. Your business is lucrative because you don't know a different way to do it. You've not improved the knowledge about what you are doing. One day I told Jerry, I said, "It's not someone that is babbling at you. Is him a robot that babbles there? No human being now. Where is head? Who is babbling it? It's not human being. With the way he is president, he's human being. They will turn his head. Say, Baba, turn your head there." No, be so. You say, president. When they're babbling, the person does not say, "President here, I cannot touch it." If we touch it, if we turn it. See, my brother, put your head in the middle. The person who is babbling the president's hair probably knows what you don't know. The person who is babbling for big men knows what you don't know. So it is not that your business is bad. You have not improved yourself on it. Get more information about what you are doing. You are doing handcraft, get information. Prosperity does not only come on the wheels of prophecy. It comes on the wheels of hard work and diligence. And having a cutting edge in the thing you are doing. Because let me tell you, no matter how special what you are doing is, you will never be the only one doing it. So there has to be something that differentiates you from the other person doing what you are doing. Even as a pastor, of course, you know, I'm not the only pastor in the world. If I don't improve myself, I can succeed.
All I know to do as a pastor is to read Bible. The Bible is all I can read. I don't care about you lie.
I have to read up on leadership. Read up on communication. Every time I watch Facebook live stream, I'm not admiring myself. I'm watching to see what I will work on next time I stand on this pulpit.
When I see that throughout the stream, I'm going up and down like this, I'll say, oh God, why are you jumping up and down? Next time, be calm and dish the word.
I'm telling myself that. Improvement!
When I began singing in this town, you cannot capture me on camera.
If your stage is wide, I can minister on every point on the stage. They will try to snap me in a war. Because I'm all over the place.
One day I watch a message, they come in now.
Improvement!
I hear the audio. I spoke one English that I should not have spoken. I will say, oh boy, where you talk this guy is?
And it cannot be edited. It is gone. So next time I'm talking, I'm more deliberate. Because I don't have a plan to preach, to have a church of illiterates. We can reach out to them. But when it comes to local church, it's not my plan at all. Amen? We will write our books in Hausa language and Igbo and give them. But when it comes to local church, it's a church I have in my mind. But you see, I cannot have that church if I don't work on myself. So even as a pastor, I pray on improvement. Whatever it is you are doing, be disciplined enough to get information on how to improve it. Don't be a novice. Don't be an ignoramus. Even if you are a secondary school teacher, there's a better way to teach. Oh, there is. The reason why you're not improving is that you commonize what you are doing.
I beg, not be a teacher. How much self is the salary? Why will I keep myself?
You can never stand out. There's somebody teaching the governor's child. What is wrong if that person is you? What is wrong? Some people teach governor's child. What they pay them is more than their salary. The teaching job that you are commonizing, somebody has done it and built house. You are saying, I beg, what are they paying us? Consistently improve yourself. Improve yourself. Go to YouTube. Use YouTube for the right reasons. There's nothing in this world you can't learn from YouTube. Even how to be stupid. If you doubt me, type it on your YouTube. How you can be stupid. Somebody has spoken about it.
Learn. Use the internet to improve yourself.
One of the major manifestations of an anointed person is excellent delivery of what he's doing. That you are anointed, it must show in how you deliver. When you teach a person's child, would they want to employ you on a private basis? Or they will say, that one, okay, I believe her. You are saying, all my life is kingdom, kingdom. You are forgetting that even in that job, you are representing kingdom. You are doing your job shabbily with the mind that it's the kingdom of God that matters. But you don't know, you are chasing men away from the kingdom by the way you are doing your job. You cook food and consistently it is salted, over salted. And you say, at the end of the day, we are all going to heaven. How do you enter a car because the driver is a Christian? You enter a car because the man can drive. You don't care about whether he's born again or not. You go to hospital, will you ask the religion of the doctor? I say, doctor, please, are you a Muslim or a Christian before you treat me? What you are interested is in getting well. So I am anointed must translate into what you are doing with a touch of excellence. And there is nothing that you cannot be excellent at. There's nothing. Even if you are making shoe. Amen? Make it with a touch of class. There are those who have stolen money. They are looking for how to spend the money. There are those who spend their money recklessly. Be the person that gets that money by what you are producing. Build a shoe that the person who likes to use half of his salary to buy shoes will look for. Fashion designing, you have been learning sewing for the past 3 years. You are lazy and you are going to be broke for a long time because you lack discipline. Learn one thing and stay there and learn it finish. No. When I used to learn sewing, if you see me that time, nowadays I don't have time. Ask person, what's the with time now? Nowadays I'm too busy. Busy doing what? Busy being broke. I don't have time. I hate saying people say I don't have time. Because the bulk of the time you don't have, you are wasting it. It's not being invested. Jesus Christ was never a person that lacked discipline. There were times where he got supply a miracle to pay tax. But Christ had a pause. Judas was treasurer. It means they were giving account of every money that came to them. He was not a waster. When we say give account of the money in your hand, it doesn't mean that we are saying you should be stingy. Because where there is no discipline and order, there cannot be increase. So discipline yourself. Improve consistently at what you are doing. Even if all you are doing is to sweep the floor, get better ways to sweep. Sweep in a way that kings will require your service. If all you do is to make hair in a way that wives of kings will require your service. One of the major things in foreign grants, they will ask you, is your business scalable? That means, can your business go beyond your geographical region? Can it sell beyond your environment? If you are doing business for your friends to come and patronize, you are a local person. You must do your business. You will be in Kebbi. Somebody in London can patronize you without you going there. The anointing you carry must translate into excellence. God went to build the ark using Moses. He didn't commission Moses to build the ark. He only told Moses the ark pattern. He anointed a man called Bezalel. He said, I have anointed Bezalel with all manner of skill and craft. But who was told to build the ark? It was Moses the prophet. But Moses did not build the ark because Moses did not have this. God had to anoint a man who already had the skill to build. If God tells me today, go and build a church for GFC, I will not be the one to go and draw the plan. Or to go and carry block. There are men who have the skill. Imagine you want to climb a plane and you see me at the cockpit and you have been seeing me all year round. I never told you I went to go and learn flying. Won't you come down? Or you say, it's my pastor. You know what he's doing. Is that what you say? You say, sir, are we playing there? Where is the pilot? You will ask me, sir, please, where is the pilot, sir? You won't say, it's my pastor now. If he can preach, he can fly a plane. Or you hear a pilot on the cockpit as you're about to go. He said, ladies and gentlemen, we are taking off right now. This is Boeing 517 days. Flying you is prophet. I want you to know that this plane cannot go down because I'm an anointed prophet. What will you say? Please, let me out of this plane. Improve on yourself. Work on yourself. Takes discipline for this to happen. If you are not disciplined, you cannot improve in life. Whatever you do, there's always a better way to do it. Before you start complaining it's not working, have you explored better ways to get it done? I've learned by simple discipline, nobody can suffer in life if you know how to discipline yourself. Paul says, I bring my body under. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 7. I bring my body under. I know you are this year, you want me to come and prophesy. As you are ending this year, yes, we'll get to that point on the 31st. But you must have sense first. One other thing you must apply discipline with is on building relevant relationships. Determine where you are going and determine who goes there with you. First Corinthians 15, I think verse 33. He said, be warned, evil communication corrupts good manners. Evil company corrupts. Somebody once said, he said, show me your friend and I will tell you where you are going in life. Or I will tell you who you are. Me, I said, show me your friend. I can predict your future. I don't need to be in a trance or a vision to tell you where you are going. I just need to see your friend. Or those you call your friends, I can tell you where you are going without praying. Because you will always move in the direction of the people around your life. The person giving you direction determines where you will end up. If you keep wrong friends, you will end up in the wrong place. Should we make acquaintance with people? Yes. But those in your inner circle must be those who have the same values with you. I am shocked that a believer can be comfortable running things with a stark unbeliever. The only time you're not with them is when you're in church. But every time, I'm my guy. You know me say because they come to church. I'm my guy. So why you are wondering why it's difficult for you to live a righteous life? Your friends have told you where to go. So it is the voice of your friend now against the voice of God. One way to keep yourself steady in God is to have those who remind you of what you hear in church. Not those who push it away from your head and say, oh boy, I leave that in that one for church. Now here we did. And you think you are wondering why you're not growing. It's not deliverance you need though. Deliver yourself from evil company, then you move ahead. An eagle that walks with chicken will eat from the ground, because chickens eat from the floor. It may be an eagle, but if he chooses chickens as company, he will behave like them. If your friendship with a person cannot change them to the way of God, then you have no business being that person's friend. Sometimes you are not strong enough to still go back and mix with them because they can still influence you. So stay away. It's not malice. It is common sense. Stay away until your feet is strong enough. When I enter Lagos, it's not only pastors that I meet. I have childhood friends who are still in the world. They will call me. Chama, how far I'm going to meet? They are going to say, oh boy, I don't say you be pastor now. No, carry you go where you go, chop better food. I'm okay. See, we still talk. Someone even send me money. One told me, say, oh boy, I do some kind of business now and I want prayer. He said, you be my party. You could feed me for me very well. He's still a stark unbeliever. I told him, I said, see, I will pray for you as a pastor. But not because of the money you are giving me. I'm not a prayer contractor. Yeah. I will pray for you as my friend. Whatever you have given. But don't think that. Don't attach that prayer to your money. So you don't come and tell me that you don't pray for me. Don't even go there. Define it. But I cannot want to do something. And that's where I will call. I want to hear God and I'll call. So Alpha, see what thing God to tell me. It makes no sense. I'm not enemies with them. We still talk. But when it comes to what matters in my life, I know who to call. Or I want to agree in prayer, I will call my friend. Oh boy, my guy, I'm not going to agree. Agree what? What are we agreeing about? Determine the kind of friends you want to keep. It is also a mark of discipline. You can't be friends with everybody. People mistake me for having many friends. I don't. I have people, if I go anywhere now, hey, pastor, pastor, hey, Alpha, hey, I don't have many friends, so let me tell you. You live in my house. How many times have you heard me say, I want to come visit my friend? Eh? You say, I live in the house. I want to come see my friend. I'm not jumping and looking for what's not lost. I can be in my room 24 hours a day. I move not, I stay there. But while I'm there, I am building my path in destiny. Fooling myself that I have church I'm preaching for. I'm okay. I'm building wisdom. Getting knowledge. I've used 4 hardcover notes this year to write. Most of what I wrote there, I didn't even preach to you. So I'm not studying because I want to come and to flabbergast you with Rema. I have an 800 leave note that has finished this year on studying. So I'm not jumping about looking for who to socialize with. It's not a priority. It's not. Discipline yourself with the kind of friends you keep. So go your friends, so go your life. You cannot detach the outcome of your life from those around your life. During my book launch, I was happy that I have friends. People that reviewed my book are my friends. When Pastor Falabi was done, I said, ah, man, he goes to get a better friend though. See what he was dishing in the review. People that even knew me, said, who is that guy? Who is that guy? Relationship. My book I wrote, I went to edit the book. I had a friend to call to edit the book. I had a friend to call to proofread. I had someone to call at every point. Who is your friend? All you gist is man you. Shout on your voice. Your voice will crack. All you use is Vivon. Latest Vivon in town. Then you think you have a friend? What are your friends adding to your life? Apart from making you live a wayward life. What are they adding? Nothing. Making you to forget your God. Any friend that you cannot comfortably share the Bible with, sir, change him. He's not a friend. You have a friend that you can sit there and say, that's me, Papa, they talk. Not true. Man, see what even God was there. See, let me tell you, it is fun. It's exciting. Exciting. I sit down with my friends that are unbelievers in Lagos when they are talking. As they are talking, I'm countering them. Yeah, you were pastor, you were my. I say, okay, calm down. He respects me. Because I have a stand. I have a stand. Who are your friends? Many of you, if you don't work on your friends, you will marry wrongly. You see, part of the influence of friendship, as simple as hairstyle. You can have a particular hairstyle because of your friends. You know why? Because what you are seeing every time. You can, I'm looking as simple as hairstyle. Because you see your friend doing the same thing. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just giving an example of the strong influence of the kind of friends you keep around you. Look at Alex's beard and Iman's beard. There's brand at some point. You know why? They are friends. I'm serious. That's what. It's as simple as that. Now, if your friend can influence the color of your beard, what can your friend not influence? It looks cool on them anyway. Praise God. They want to grow gray by first. When you now grow and you start having gray, you'll be dying it. You see life. Praise God. But it looks cool actually. I'm admiring you guys by style. So what I'm saying is this, that as simple as that, it can influence you. How much more your life? Before, Alex doesn't wear dark glass in church. After working with him, he's now wearing dark glass in church. He just tell you this thing, it's see, I know you are laughing, my boys, so I can yap them, kick them up, bring them down, throw them out, bring them in. The three musketeers, Jerry, Iman, Alex. So I can use them for example, any example I want. If you like the Juvex, they will still bring my fish. This one will still come back my hair. Amen. Amen. The friends you keep. In the day of adversity, you will know whether you have friends. What you have been building will play out. Be disciplined about those who you allow into your space. Jesus had the 12 disciples in his space. He ran his life with them. As a pastor, you will get so into pastoring that you will look one day, you don't have friends. Your friends are your members. I threatened some people yesterday, they did not come to my house. I said, come with what you eat, they refused to come. Because they don't have faith. Yes, those that came met food and ate. They even carried home. You see? They don't have faith. I said, come with what you eat, though. They stayed back. But thank God for the woman. The woman that first saw Jesus. The woman came. We played scrabble. We ate rice. Some even took two. Take away. But when they were coming, there was no food in the house really. But when they came, they ate there and took away. How did I spend my Christmas? With my members, playing scrabble, laughing, eating rice. Then when I finished, I went to Pastor Shegun's house to calm me down there. Who are your friends? Discipline yourself. Don't allow just anybody into your space. See, your prayer point for who to marry will be less if you have good friends. Because God will just zoom on one of them and say, that's the one. But if you have been rolling with useless people, you've been looking for prophet up and down. Because I have 5 names. Which one is it? You know why you are confused? Because you don't have better friends. All the girls in your house, in your life, are slave mamas. They are slave. You are afraid of them. They are not coming to prophet. I have 5 names. When you have good female friends, godly, chaste sisters, when you want to marry, God will just put touchdown on one. Say, that one among all your friends is the one. Go and marry her. And you will be so sure. No shaking. But when we see your status, the only people that your woman crush is half naked girls. How will you marry that kind of person? Even you know you cannot marry that kind of person. You say, ah, mama, you're looking beautiful. She's wearing hair. This one, breast is outside. Bum bum is almost outside. That's the person that you are celebrating on your status, Christian brother. And tomorrow you say, oh God, chase away bad energy. You have them around you. Why won't you be dreaming and you're having sex when all the girls in your picture are naked girls? You must dream the dream. It's not a spirit husband doing anywhere, or spirit wife. The spirit wife is in your phone. Because of your wrong association. Likewise, if you want to make it in your business, go around people who know what to do, who know what they are doing. They may not even be doing what you are doing, but they have the values that can move you forward. Not those who tell you every weekend to go clubbing. You can never be rich. Because all you spend, you go and club it away. Those guys who you see clubbing, you know, it's funny how broke people will copy in the video. Ah, the video go club. You're not going to wear the fake of what the video was to go to club. What kind of life is this? You want to call you whiskey? You wear fake of what whiskey was because you want to be like. Anything that makes you want to be like what you don't have is a problem. Your lifestyle must not be higher than your income. But wrong will always push you in that direction, because you are always struggling to impress them. I will continue this thing on Wednesday. If you like, don't come. I will continue. Discipline yourself. Not everybody can be your friend. Show me your friend, and I will tell you where you are going to. Without praying. Bible says a friend is born for adversity. The kind of friends you have, if you have a spiritual problem, can they help you? Can they? When I had a health challenge, I had friends that could call to agree with me in prayer. Recently, one of them was down in sickness. Every day I call him and pray with him to strengthen his faith. That's friendship. Because there are days you will lose your guard. You will need somebody who is still on his guard to help you. Can you point to three friends in your life that can hold you up in prayer? Or you think a pastor is a loner? No. I have friends that when in red, I will call them. Say, boy, pray. I don't call you now. Is it you I will call? I can't call you. Because if I call you, it's to pray for you. Not to tell you that you don't cast. If your pastor calls you and say you don't cast, what will you say? That means it is casted. But there are times where it is read. I call my friends. Man of God, let's agree in prayer. There are times it is read for them, they will call me. Man of God, I'm trusting God for this one. Let's agree in prayer. That is what friendship should do. If you don't have such in your life, you don't have friends. And they don't have the pastors. But they can agree with you in faith. They can stand with you and say, sir, you don't go down. We are here for you. You shall even say, man of God, I was praying and God said about you, this. My friend was sick. I called him. I said, I woke up the next morning after praying. The Lord said, tell him this. And I called him and told him, do you have such friend in your life that can stand with you in prayer? You want to marry. Do you have those that can pray with you and say, ah, this brother is coming, he's tempting, no, but I'm not sure he's the one. Sister, babe, we'll pray together. You call your female friends, you pray until as you are praying, the word of God comes and say, hey, that's the one. That is really friends. I say, hey, you didn't see that brother? That one too is toasting. Just thinking about it though, you are praying about it. Ah, if you see that one too want to come and toast, say, hey. So of all people, it's that one. You finish, you laugh at the brother, then you go and say, oh Lord, send my man. You don't know nothing. You haven't see, when I was toasting my wife, I had men that were praying. I'll say, this babe one tough one, man of God, no worry, I will pray. When he prayed, he said, see what God told me. Oh, she's the one. I had friends who told me that, hey, Chibuzo, this is your wife. Say, we know it in our spirit, this is your wife. We all of us agreed on the day she said yes. Guess who I first told? It's them now. I said, oh boy, it don't happen. He said, ah. He said, we don't know since now. Have friends that can say we don't know since, because they have been in the place of prayer with you. Stop loafing about with losers. Stop it. You don't have a problem. Your problem is association. See, where I am in my life, for the devil to get me down very hard. Because even if I don't have faith for it, I have men who have the faith. It's to connect with your faith. One time I had a crisis in Sokoto. I was having a ministry program there. It was terrible. I couldn't sleep overnight. I prayed, confessed scriptures, prayed, confessed. Pain was still there. I just called one of my pastor friends. I said, come. Come and pray with me. He came. He didn't pray. He was sharing scriptures. Sharing testimonies. We were just gisting. Do you know, we were gisting until the pain disappeared. I said, man of God, he didn't go. But I needed that support that time. What if I didn't have such friends? I have friends that I come for medical opinion. When you have the right friends in life, you won't pay for everything. Build the right relationships so you will not spend your money for everything in your life. I can consult doctor without paying him now. I can just call him. Doki, XYZ. You say, okay, give me 10 minutes. Do this on this one. Do you know that thing I'm just doing on a call? Some people have to go and queue in the hospital. Buy card. Hello? Hello? It's relationship. There are people I've sent to go and do tests. No money collected. It is based on relationship. It's not based on bone face. You say, I want to go and which test? Somebody was sick, a student. A brother was sick. They had to do about 21 tests on the boy. She didn't pay a dime in FMC again. Because the guy saw and said, are you not a serious member? He said, yes. He said, come. Before I got there, the test was done. Relationship. Build it and be deliberate about it. Your inner circle must be very, very delicately chosen. Not everyone should have access to your life. Your life is too precious to God to allow every Tom, Dick, and Harry into your space. Whether you are male or female, it applies to you. If you are male, also be conscious of the women you are allowing around your life. Not every female friend should be your friend. No. Some have seducing spirits. They will bring you down. But some have Holy Ghost fire in them. They will fire you up. Or you, I will choose the latter. When you see, let me tell you, when two people get born again, a man and a woman on the same day, feed them under the same word, the same prayer routine, it is most likely the woman will catch fire more than the guy. You know why? Women are very emotional. And one of the ways the work of God in you can become faster is when your emotions are involved in it. So it's not always a surprise to me when I see a woman more on fire than a man. As long as I pray, stay on fire, stay at feet. There are things my wife does with ease than me. With ease. Why? My gender. I'm telling you. I pray, I stop you. But when it comes, so when you have friends who are full of fire and your eye is not looking for another thing, they will help your life. Women can carry your matter on their head more than guys. That's if you have your honest intention towards them. Not the one that you've not finished talking to small. You are touching the body. You have touched hand. You have touched leg. You have done like this. You have done like, yeah. Discipline in the way you touch women is also important. Don't light a fire you cannot stop. That woman you're touching, she has blood in her veins too. Some guys just do women as if the woman doesn't even have anything they are thinking. You see again, half an hour, you don't hold waist. Half an hour, you don't hug front. Can't you just stay on your own? You are gisting. Your hands on their laps. Before you know, okay, keep your hand in your pocket. Just, if your hand is right, just like this. As it comes in, just be putting your hand there. Don't let it come out. It's discipline too. We say, I write unto you that don't let a man not touch a woman, because the woman too responds to touch. You don't know that when you are touching her, she's on her ovulation. We are not bringing money for her. You will not finish touching her, then she will go home and be thinking and be hugging her pillow tightly. Don't let somebody fall because of your life, because your hand will not stay in one place. Maybe that day she left her house trying to control sex temptation. Then you are just doing all the nonsense. I'm saying, can this guy just leave me alone? Because it's not always about you alone. It's about them too. Pastor, how did you know? I read. I don't go around testing every woman. I have only one woman in my life that can test. I'm testing and I will still be testing. But I read. Get knowledge and save your life. Give me understanding that I may live. Understanding is key to living. why you see me, I'm very strict on touching women. It's not because, even as a pastor, I don't go around just saying, my daughter, watch yourself. Discipline. And if you're ladies too, watch yourself. You know every guy, you go and jump on their laps. Say, we are brethren. We are brethren. You will soon become mothering if you don't stop. Discipline yourself. And lastly, discipline yourself with sleep. Don't be a sleeper. You know, sleepers. No matter how lofty your dreams are, you need to wake up to fulfill them. The day I said this thing was in family house. We're having morning devotion. So I was asked to share the word during devotion. And incidentally, the title they gave me was Fulfilling Your Dreams. So when I got up, the Holy Ghost is very interesting. When I got up, as I was talking, I saw a brother sleeping. And I said, no matter how big your dreams are, you have to wake up to fulfill it. The guy woke up. What a miracle. The line just came. As in, it was so perfect. Even when I shared it, I was like, let me share this thing. I just saw a guy sleeping. I just came. No matter how big your dreams are, you have to wake up. And when I got to work, I made the volume higher. Wake up to fulfill it. So if you are sleeping, wake up. And a person can sleep physically and sleep spiritually. He said, awake, O thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give thee light. Awake! Have sleep routines that help you more productive. Sleep well doesn't mean sleep long. Hello? Sleeping well doesn't mean what? It means sleep when you ought to sleep and walk when you ought to what? But don't sleep. You sleep. If you don't wake you will not wake. And you are doing nothing. You are not walking. You are not provided for anybody. But you will just sleep. Wrap some wood or cover themselves like dead body. They wrap the cover cloth on their head. How will you even know that day has broken? Sleep as if you are gone. See, most of people are sleeping as if they are dead. Do we have to keep them? How? I had one friend, family house, when he's sleeping. Yeah. And family house mattress is just single bunk. You know, just sleep like there was somebody on the cross. And be snoring in bars. You just sleep throughout the night. You don't even wake up. Even if they are. Let me not cast my children. One day I enter the house. People were in the house. Three women were in the house. We pressed the on. Nobody woke up. I went to the kitchen window. Bah, bah. Nobody woke up. I took stone. Hit my gate. Go, go. Nobody woke up. This thing happened for 35 minutes. They were sleeping. I'm telling you, I had to force the gate open somehow. Wounded my hand in the process. When I still drove into the house, they were still sleeping. There was one sleeping in the room before the gate. CJ's room. I drove and parked. She was still sleeping. That day I was livid with anger. 35 minutes. But thank God they've repented. They are now a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Don't sleep on Stephen, that woman in the Bible. And sleep on her own baby until the baby died. You say, what is the Bible now? How did her baby die? She slept and rolled over the baby, baby died. Some people, the way they sleep, when you have a child, better go and get baby's cut. Some people, they will sleep and roll on the child. Put leg on the baby's head. and be snoring. You see, I'm not making laugh. It's real. There are those who sleep like that. Their own sleep is death. They only come back to life when they wake up. The sleep of Eutychus can pass you to the grave beyond. Some sleep so much at home, they won't carry it to church. You see a person, oh, I've seen one person wearing glass one day. Dark glass. I'm not saying Alex. So. I didn't say Alex. Don't look at Alex now. And the guy was not sleeping. Dark bones don't sleep. I know when they, God, when you usher now say, I'm not sleeping. I've never seen a person who agreed in church that they are sleeping. Wake them up. I'm not sleeping. I have some in my house when we are praying and they're dozing. I'm not sleeping. I said, no. We are only meditating. You're not sleeping. Makabama. Ma. Shut up. Daya. Even Adasa has learned that behavior. Adasa. Small Adasa. If you cast Adasa, you're like, no. Let's keep quiet there. Who taught her? See them. And that's how someone does that. If you see her sleeping and you say, welcome, I say, hey, get quiet there. Even that one, don't learn the behavior. Don't sleep and forget. May you not sleep and sleep into your interview day. You not wake up and be rushing. Discipline yourself. Amen. Have you been blessed this morning? Did you learn even if it's one thing this morning? Just say thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the privilege to learn. A lot has been said tonight, this morning. I would advise you go back and get the message and listen again. That's how you internalize it. That's one of the expressions of discipline. Get this tape on Telegram and hear it again. There is the two-part teaching. I taught one from 8 o'clock to 9:30 and that one now. Get it and listen again. Get it and listen again. Say, Lord, help me to practice what I hear. One thing you must make up your mind to do in the coming year is to be deliberate at doing what you have heard. Make me a doer of your word and not just a hearer only. Bible says when we are not doer of the word, we are deceiving ourselves. Be not a hearer only, but be doers of the work. When you don't do it, you are deceiving yourself. Help me to be a doer of the word I hear. Can you pray to Jesus?